You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
Well, everybody, come on. It's almost here, isn't it? Man, it's almost Christmas. Can you believe it? Are you guys ready? Are you ready? So, hey, listen, this is Christmas Day is the culmination of the Advent season. And so we've been celebrating the Advent season here at The Gathering. And it's this season that leads up to Christmas. And the whole purpose of the Advent season is so that we can get our hearts ready, so that we can prepare ourselves to celebrate the day King Jesus arrived, Christmas Day. But it also goes further than that. There's also this idea that we're also preparing ourselves and living our lives in such a way that we're anticipating his second advent. In other words, the day he will return again. And so far in this Advent series, we have talked about hope, we have talked about peace, and we have talked about joy. And church, it all builds up to tonight, okay? We've got one more Advent truth we get to talk about tonight. And so listen, peace and hope and joy, those things are all founded in. Those things all come from, they all point to, and they culminate in love. You can have hope, you can have peace, you can have joy because of God's love. And I'm telling you, God's love will lead to more hope, joy, and peace. Amen? Amen. So family, let's talk about love tonight. And so listen, if you call The Gathering home, you're probably very familiar with what I'm about to tell you, okay? But how many of you would agree we live in a culture and a society today that is deeply confused about love? Amen? Come on, we say things like this. We say, it was love at first sight, right? We tell stories like this. We're like, oh, we took each other by the hands. We stared into each other's eyes as our hearts just longed for one another. And in that moment, we fell in love. We say that, don't we? Come on, we say we fell in love, or we say I fall in love. Now help me out, Gathering family. That's not the way it works, is it? Come on, you don't fall in love. You fall in the shower. You fall in elevator shafts and swimming pools and giant ravines, things like that. Amen? So we are confused about love. And how many of you have heard this, that love is a choice? Love is a choice. Okay, that's true. Love is a choice. I'm just a little concerned that many people don't really understand the choice that they are making when they claim to love someone. So here at The Gathering, we try to help each other out with this. We have a definition for the word love, okay? So this is what we say. Love is wanting the highest good for someone and being willing to do your part to see it come to pass, even though it will cost you something. Love is wanting the highest good for someone and being willing to do your part to see it come to pass, even though it will cost you something. Don't miss that last part. Even though it will cost you something, when it comes to genuine love, it's not if it will cost you something. It's simply a matter of when and how often. And will you choose to keep on loving even in the midst of continuous cost? Love is a choice. It's choosing to want the highest good or the best for someone and choosing to do your part to see it come to pass in their lives even if it costs you something. That's love. It's not based on feelings. It's not based on looks. It's not based on falling in or falling out of something. It's based on choices. And so guess what? You could then say that the choice to love can actually lead you to do some pretty crazy things sometimes. Amen? Hey, listen to me. Making the choice to love means you might find yourself doing some crazy or bold or adventurous things sometimes to demonstrate your love. How many guys have done some crazy things in your life for love? Some bold or some risky things, okay? Because you made the choice to love someone. Listen to me. Parents, you do this all the time. Parents, you have to touch things you never thought you'd have to touch. Things come out of your mouth. You say things you never thought you'd have to say. You put your body in precarious and risky situations on a regular basis for the sake of your kids. Amen? But it's not just parents. Listen, I mean, people are known to put themselves into dangerous situations to rescue loved ones from harm. Now, think about this. People are known to give organs to loved ones. We hear stories about soldiers that jump on grenades to save the lives of their fellow soldiers. That's love. And even this, sometimes you might find yourself having to get bold and step up and confront someone you love and tell them the truth because their actions, their behavior, it's harming them and it's harming others. Listen, the choice to love can lead you to do some crazy and some bold and even risky things. Amen? So listen to me very carefully. No one knows this better than Jesus. No one knows this better than Jesus, okay? I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but here's why God created you. I'm about to tell you why you exist, okay? This is why you were created by God through Jesus to know him and enjoy him forever. That's why you were created. That's why you exist. You were created to be God's family. You were created to be God's friends. That's why you exist. That's why God made human beings to be deeply cherished by him, to be unimaginably loved by him, and for you and me, for us to get to love him back and live life with him. Now, the problem is we have all sinned. We've all chosen to take these lives that God has given us and we've lived them in ways that God never intended for us to. We've made choices to live apart from God's love, and our sin, these choices that we've made, they have broken that relationship with God. Relationship was first broke in the garden when Adam and Eve chose to sin together, and we have all followed suit. And the result of sin is always death and separation from God. Our sin means that we will die. That's the penalty. That's the cost of sin, okay? But let's do this real quick tonight, okay? Let's use our imaginations for just a moment. You guys wanna use your imaginations for a moment? Come on, let's do this together, okay? So listen, we know that both Adam and Eve sinned together in the garden. We know that, okay? But however, I just want us to imagine just for a moment what it might have been like if that scenario had just been slightly different, okay? So listen to me, we know this didn't happen, but just imagine, what if Adam had been on the other side of the garden when Satan came to Eve and tempted her to eat the fruit? What if Adam hadn't even been there when Eve was tempted, and that, yes, Eve went ahead and she ate the fruit, she sinned, but let's just imagine, what if Adam had never sinned? What if he wasn't there? What if he never took part in that? Can you imagine the conversation that would have had to take place at that point? Here's the conversation that I imagine would have had to take place. I imagine God would have had to go to Adam and say something like, "Son, I've got some terrible news." And you've got to keep in mind, this would have been the first time that Adam would have ever heard bad news. "But son, I am so sorry to tell you that your wife, your family, your best friend, she has sinned and she's going to die." And I imagine that, like a loving husband, like a loving best friend, Adam would have responded in some way, probably like this: "But I don't want her to die. I love her too much." Okay, listen to me. We know that conversation didn't take place. However, I do think a conversation like that did take place. Now listen, our sin did not catch God by surprise, okay? So whether it was in eternity past or whether it was actually when Adam and Eve sinned, I do believe that God the Father and Jesus had some version of that conversation right there, where God the Father and Jesus spoke and God the Father said, "Son, I've got terrible news. Our family, our kids, our friends, they have sinned. And they are going to die. But Jesus spoke up. And Jesus said, 'But I don't want them to die. I love them too much, Dad. So I'll go. I'll go. I'll die for them. I'll pay the penalty for them. I'll pay the cost. I love them so much and I want the highest good for them. So I'll die for them so that we can have them back, so that they can know our love and live for their true purpose again with us. So that, church family, listen to me, we could live now and forevermore in the most loving, pure, vibrant, adventurous, purpose-filled, hope-filled, peace-filled, and joy-filled relationship you could ever have with anyone, but you get to have it with God himself. Friends, that's why Jesus came. That's why you exist, to have that relationship right there. Again, I'll say it, the choice to love can lead you to do some crazy, bold, and even risky things, and nobody knows this better than Jesus. Come on, that's why he came, friends. That's why we have Christmas, because he loves you. He doesn't want you to die. He doesn't want you to be separated from him now, and certainly not for eternity. He wants to live life with you. He wants you to begin to live now and forevermore as you were intended, in the best, most fulfilling, loving, life-giving relationship you could ever have with him. That's the Christmas gift that Jesus has for you. That's the Christmas gift that Jesus is for you. Check this out. This is Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, the paycheck that you and I get, the paycheck that we receive for our sins is that we will die. That's the cost. But watch this. Come on. But the gift. This ought to put a smile on your face tonight. Come on. But the gift. The Christmas gift, Jesus himself, the free gift of God is eternal life in, don't miss that, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come on, and don't miss that word in. Do not miss that. Watch that. It says in Christ Jesus. You want to know what that word in means? Check this out. It means in. In, right? It means the gift of eternal life is only found in Jesus himself and through relationship with Jesus. It doesn't mean inconsistent relationship. Or sometimes. Or maybe. Or checking in with Jesus from time to time. No, it's talking about being in real friendship and life and love with Jesus now and from here on out. Now look, for many of us, I don't know where you're coming from tonight. I don't know what your church experience has been in the past. I don't know that, but that doesn't matter. Here's all that matters tonight. Here's what you have permission to believe tonight. You have permission to believe that God loves you. God really, really, really loves you. Jesus is that gift to you. He has God's love. He is God's love. He came so that you could receive him now and forevermore. Now, big time grace tonight, because I guarantee you there's a bunch of us in this room right now that actually have a hard time believing that. If we're honest with ourselves, we actually have a hard time believing that God really loves us. I know personally, because I struggled with that for a long time. I used to look around and it was so obvious to me that God, obviously, he loved everyone else around me, but this is the way I felt, okay? This is the way I felt. I felt like he just sort of put up with me. Church, I have messed up way too many times to count. I had made a mess and was making a further mess of my life. But listen to me, nonetheless, it was in the middle of the mess that God showed up and told me that he loves me. Come on, it's not like I was able to somehow get my act together on my own. And then after I got my act together, then God showed up and said, I love you. No, he showed me, he loved me at my worst. He loved me in the midst of the mess. My prayer, our prayer here at the gathering, no matter how you feel about his love, no matter where you're coming from, would be that you might know, that you might believe tonight that God loves you. Love is wanting the highest good for someone and being willing to do your part to see it come to pass, even though it will cost you something. Come on, I pray that you would get this. Jesus did crazy, bold, risky things. He did the most costly thing for you because he loves you, and he knows that the highest good for you is life with him. Here's what he did. Here's what God's word says. Check this out. This is Romans 5:8. It says, but God showed his great love for us, for you and me, by sending Christ to die. to die for us. And watch this. While we were still sinners, before we'd cleaned up, before we'd done anything, or at our worst, he loves us. When you're at your worst, he loves you. Church, that's what he did for us because he loves us. And here's why he did it. Watch this. 1 John 4:9. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world. Again, to die, but here's why we might have eternal life through him. So that we might not die, but rather have eternal life with him now and forever through his love, through relationship with Jesus. Church family, it's Christmas. I got good news for you tonight. God loves you. God loves you. Which means we're also presented with a choice. We're all presented with a choice that we have to make. And it's the most important choice we'll ever make. And choosing to ignore this choice is, in fact, making a choice. Listen to me. Here's the choice we have to make. Will we or won't we love God back? Will we or won't we love God back? Love is a choice, and God chooses to love you. He loves you. Will you choose to love God back? Will you receive God's love and choose to be in the relationship that he died for you to have? Here's my question tonight. Do you love God now? What's your answer to that question right now? Do you love God now? Honestly, the thoughts that are going through your brain right now may be the most important thoughts of your life. Do you love God? And if you're not sure right now, here's another question. Do you want to? Do you want to start loving him? So maybe you say, how do I do that? How do I do that? What does that look like? How do I start loving God? How do I have a relationship with him? I'm telling you, I got good news. It's almost Christmas. And so here's what you do. Listen, you simply receive the gift that God has for you. You make the choice to receive his love and his forgiveness for your sins and the eternal life that he has for you, the relationship that he has for you right now. In other words, you make the choice to receive Jesus. Now, listen, okay, here's where some people get hung up though. Okay, look, very plainly, people get very confused about what it means to receive Jesus. Come on, help me out, somebody. We've been told that a whole bunch, haven't we? Just receive Jesus. How many guys have been told, just receive Jesus? You don't have to raise your hands. I'm betting there's a bunch of us in this room and we prayed that prayer, Jesus, I want to receive you, and nothing's ever changed. I prayed that prayer hundreds, if not thousands of times during my childhood or growing up. I prayed that, Jesus, I want to receive you, and nothing ever changed. In fact, my life just continued further down a path that was taking me further from God. Here's why. I didn't understand two things. First off, I did not understand how to receive Jesus, and I did not understand what it was I would actually be receiving. Admittedly, here's really what I wanted to receive. I really just wanted to receive the ability to go to heaven. I knew I didn't want to go to hell, because who does? I knew I wanted to go to heaven, so I knew I wanted to receive the ability to be able to go to heaven. And quite frankly, that's what many of us have been taught to want the most. Amen? Listen, receive Jesus so that you can go to heaven, so that you don't have to go to hell. But I'm telling you, if going to heaven after you die is the main goal rather than life and relationship with Jesus now and forevermore, then that leaves you with nothing to truly live for now. If you make the main goal heaven now, you have nothing to truly live for now. You need the life and the relationship with Jesus. There's no substance in that line of thinking for life right now. And come on, quite frankly, there's a huge chunk of the real gospel missing in that line of thinking. And so people, they hear that and they leave church. And then they go, like the rest of the world, they try to find their fulfillment in all kinds of things and all kinds of places that aren't Jesus, and they never get satisfied. So listen, I'm not asking you to receive anything less than Jesus himself tonight. And let me explain it this way. Here's how. Receive him the same way you would any new friend. Receive him in the same way you would in the way that you might start a friendship or start a relationship with a brand new friend. Come on, how do you start a friendship? How does that usually start? Sometimes they start like this. Usually somebody comes up to another person and they hold out their hand like this. And then the other person, if they're normal, they shake it, right? Here, you take hold of that thing, and then usually a conversation begins. There's something begins, a conversation starts, and then maybe you pick up that same conversation later, or you meet again. You're intentional to check in with each other. You're intentional to keep talking. You see each other later. You make plans to hang out. Pretty soon, those handshakes, they're not just handshakes, they turn into hugs. And you're discovering, man, I think this person's my friend. I can trust this person. I'm getting committed to the friendship. I'm getting committed to this thing, and we can rely upon each other. I'm discovering that I got somebody here that I can rely upon. Friends, that's how you receive the greatest, most costly, most loving gift of all time. That's how you receive the love of God, his forgiveness, the life that he has for you, the relationship he wants with you now and forevermore. And all of that is wrapped up in the person of Jesus and relationship or friendship with him. And so here's what you do. Here's what we say around here. We submit. We make the choice to submit. And then we trust in, commit to, and rely upon Jesus with our lives. That's how you start that friendship with Jesus. You make the decision to trust in, commit to, and rely upon Jesus. We trust in, we commit to, and we rely upon everything that he did for us, that he was born for us, that he lived the sinless life that we haven't lived and was then therefore qualified to pay the penalty for our sins. That he died on the cross for us. That he was buried in the grave, but that death could not hold his sinless life in the grave. And so by the power of God, he rose again full of new life that he can impart now and forevermore to anyone who would receive his love and choose to love him back. So friends, I wonder if you might do something crazy tonight. Something that honestly the world doesn't want you to do. You might even have some family members that don't want you to do this. I wonder if you might make the choice to start loving Jesus back tonight. I wonder if you might make the choice, make the decision to trust in, commit to, and rely upon Jesus. Start a friendship with him. Maybe go deeper in your friendship with him. I wonder if you might determine to do this as well. Listen, if you don't have a church home right now or someplace that you go to church regularly, or if you're just not sure about receiving Jesus or what that really looks like, then do this. Determine now to come back here again soon. And come back next Sunday. It's going to be New Year's Eve. We're going to celebrate at 10 a.m. or come back. If you're out of town, then come back the following week. I am not exaggerating when I say that the people here that call the gathering home, we are having the time of our lives, living life together and with Jesus and doing our best to be a blessing to this city. Come on, gathering family, is that true? Amen. And listen, here's what we keep discovering. We are better together. I need some help. You do too. Amen. We're discovering that we're learning how to love Jesus more and more together. And together we want everyone around us to experience God's love. We say this, we're aiming for Newton Reborn. But in the context of what we're doing tonight, I'll say it this way. Man, we are aiming for nothing less than Christmas Town here in Newton. Amen? Amen, gathering family? Listen, everybody, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray. And I'm going to invite the band to come back out. We're going to continue to worship here in just a moment. Let's pray. Come on, let me ask, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you tonight? What's Jesus saying to you right now? Again, I don't know where you're coming from tonight or what your church experience has been. This is just strong on my heart right now. There's somebody really needs to receive this tonight. God loves you. You have permission to something in you is telling you now, or it's just making you, you just hold back. You're like, I'm not sure. You have permission to tell that thing to be quiet. This is the truth. God loves you. He came at Christmas time for you. Jesus was not willing to let you die, to be eternally separated from him. He didn't want you to have to wait until heaven. He didn't want to have to wait. He wants you to be able to live life with him now and forevermore. He loves you. He has life for you. I wonder, do you need to make the decision to start loving him back tonight? What happens if even right now you begin to tell him, Jesus, I'm choosing to trust in and commit to and rely upon you. I want a friendship with you, Jesus. And what if you don't just walk out of here and leave that here? What if you take this new relationship with you? Come on, what if you let tomorrow be the biggest reason you've ever had to thank Jesus and love Jesus and connect with Jesus and celebrate him and worship him? What if you wake up tomorrow morning and say, thank you, Jesus, that you love me. I love you back. Thank you that you came for me. Thank you for Christmas Day. And I'm telling you, if you need people to walk beside you, we all do, come back here. Make determine now to come back and be a part of this family. We want you to be a part of this family. Lord, I pray for all these wonderful people here tonight. I pray, would you, Lord, there are prayers being asked right now of you. There are people that are making decisions right now. They're saying, I want to trust in, commit to, and rely upon you. I pray you'd come and answer their prayers right now. Just tell them this. Just tell them, Jesus, I want you to do what you want with me. Jesus, we want what you want for us. We thank you that you love us. We set our hearts on you. We seek together to go to have new or go deeper in relationship with you. Be praised, be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleinthercity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.